Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Gospel lesson. Verse 27 reads, "And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." I teach this in confirmation class, so if you've gone through confirmation class or adult class with me, this part might be familiar. We get to confession and absolutions, and I teach, so there are two possibilities in life. Two possibilities for trying to live a life that you can actually live with and look at yourself in the eye in the mirror. You can try to be a part of the righteous and holy among the human race. Or you can be a part of the forgiven and forgiving. How's the first one work out? Trying to be the righteous and holy. See, the measurement there is a complete and perfect righteousness. Keeping the spiritual law, loving your neighbor perfectly, purity in soul and in life. How's that work out if you try and be measured by that standard? It's a dead end. Very literally a dead end. The second one, to be among the forgiven and forgiving. That's what Jesus has in mind. That's what he calls us into. And he gathers us into an assembly of the forgiven and forgiving. It's why we did the confession of sins and absolution that we did earlier. I've got stories about this. I'll tell you sometime. Stories about divisions in congregations, and then you set this up where you have to forgive back and forth in the congregation, and all of a sudden it becomes real. Because that person you don't want to sit with because they did something against you a decade ago, or get this, your grandma and their grandma got into a big to-do. And now the families will not sit with each other. And now you have to face them and pronounce forgiveness of sins. I remember end of 1982 becoming a pastor and having to stand up for the first time and actually speak the absolution. And what am I doing here? I am declaring, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you. How do I dare to do that? And it smacks you hard when you become a pastor and have to do that. And I share a little bit of that by using that confession back and forth where we forgive each other. Because we carry forgiveness of sins. We carry it for each other. And this is not just pastors who do that. The pastor does in the name of the congregation what every member of the congregation is given the authority to do. It's just we can't all speak at once, so we appoint somebody to say it for us. That's Missouri Synod theology. I do nothing up here that is not your authority, shared and together. Okay. I've seen you. And you do not realize this. I've seen you pronounce absolution for each other. I've seen you do this Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You've done it. You may not realize it, but it is there. We will do so later in the service. At the end of our prayers, at the tail end, we will get to that one place where we say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That's an absolution. Let me open that up for you. As we forgive those who sin against us, what does that mean? The Lord's Prayer was taught in two different places, one in Matthew 6 and the other in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, it's a little bit different, where the fifth petition comes out as, "And forgive us our debts, for we forgive our debtors." What we are saying to God in either version amounts to this: forgive us our trespasses as we here and now pronounce forgiveness for those who trespass against us. It's an amnesty. Those sins are forgiven. You've declared it before God and before the whole world. And in this assembly, we will declare later in this service, once again, we will declare an amnesty for all sins committed against us by anybody here. What do you do then with the sins? What do you do then with the sin of your neighbor that they sinned against you? And the answer is nothing. They've been forgiven. They're gone. By the way, so are yours. And what the church becomes, in a moment, how we get there, what the church becomes is an assembly of people who have declared full amnesty for one another. All sins within this assembly, they're gone, washed away. Period. How we get there is that somebody had to carry those sins. And somebody had to do the first forgiving. And you know who that is, don't you? So the parable, a few interesting details. Talents of silver, one talent worth about $11,500. The one servant owed his master 10,000 talents, $115 million. Now, with that in mind, how's this line sound? "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." It's the most ridiculous thing in the entire parable. "I'll repay you everything." Yeah, okay, right. What is outrageous is that his master forgives the debt. An absolutely unpayable debt. The master would have been within his rights to have that servant sold and his family and all that he had. It would not have paid back what he had lost on that servant, but it would be something. You see, God gains nothing, absolutely nothing, gains nothing by judging and condemning a sinner. He gains nothing. It's a loss. It's a waste. What a waste. And when God has to condemn, doesn't enjoy doing it. What a waste. Back to the parable. When it comes right down to it, in the king's eyes, in the master's eyes, what is the most important thing? Now, what about you? What do you owe? What is your debt to God? And the debt that every human being has been given life by God, the debt that we owe is a completely, perfectly righteous and holy life with perfect obedience and faith. Can you pay that? Well, that possibility is gone. Can you make restitution? How would you make restitution? Would an eternity of suffering judgment for the sins you've committed, for having spoiled God's good creation, your corner of God's good creation, including the good creation of your soul, could you pay that back? And in the paying that back, owing God also an eternity of praise as you are suffering judgment, an eternity of praise for all the good things he has put in your life. Can you even begin? Absolutely no hope there. It cannot be done. That's why we never even try to earn God's favor. We never try because, first, you can't. You cannot do anything to earn his favor. It never can balance out. But secondly, we do not try because it's already been earned by Jesus. The most outrageous part of the parable is not the servant saying, I will repay you everything. It is the master forgiving the unthinkable debt. Back to the parable. So the king simply forgives the debt. The servant, he doesn't know the cost. He doesn't know the toll that it took on his master. Because for the forgiving of the debt, there was the sending of his son, his only son, whom he loved, to suffer the penalty in his place. And by the way, neither did you when the price was paid. You and I, we simply come upon it as an accomplished fact. And there it is. All the servant and all we know at the outset is it's forgiven. There's nothing more to say about that. It's forgiven. But what then? What then is he, the servant? What then are we? What are we going to do with that? Heading out and finding somebody who owes you something and beginning to choke him. Yeah. That doesn't make it. It violates every part of the forgiveness. For us, well, strutting around, wearing forgiveness as a badge of honor and superiority. Now, that's not in the pattern of the forgiven and forgiving. It violates the forgiveness we've been given. Continuing to be amazed and astonished and absolutely floored by the whole experience of forgiveness, well, that might be worth something to live in our lives and share with our neighbor. To be amazed at the forgiveness and to live with that astonishing gift. Something that's worth sharing with our neighbor because our neighbor could use some of that incredible forgiveness too. What that means is, first, staying in touch with the fact that we've been forgiven and we need forgiveness and we needed it desperately, and that's a truth that we need to have in our lives. It keeps us down to earth. And being amazed by this, that's part of our worship. And there are times, every so often, there are times, and it happens, there are times, and sometimes it even makes the news, of Christians forgiving according to the pattern of how we've been forgiven. Sometimes that goes right up in the face of, right up in the view of everybody around. But when it does, it's an amazing thing. And the world sees. And it doesn't fit with how the world is trying to do things. There's something different here. And that something different calls to the hearts. Calls to the hearts of people around us in the world. And sometimes they say, well, I might just have to, for another time, I might have to take a look at Jesus in his name. Amen.